Blog Talk Radio. you know, read around, give you a little bit of what I believe is the scripture is saying what God has shared with me. So when I say what I believe I heard in my heart by God. So let's pray before we proceed. Father God, we thank you for this night. We thank you for this night for Smile 3E, Iron Sharpening Iron, and Blog Talk Radio and Facebook joining together to bring forth the message on tonight, which is part 3 of Wisdom. We thank you for giving us ears to hear, a heart to receive, and a mind to meditate on what you are giving us on tonight. And we just ask you to let the visitors, let the listeners, and let the viewers visit, see, and hear and what you are saying with the word on tonight. So I want to start off with amen. Put it like that. Let's not go no further. Amen. So I want to start off with Ecclesiastes, the 2nd chapter. Let's start off with that. So we're going to talk about what Ecclesiastes is saying. It says, I say in my heart, go to now, I will prove thee with myrrh, therefore enjoy pleasures, and behold, this also is vanity. So it's starting off with vanity. We're going to talk about that because a lot of times people don't realize they're operating in with vanity. They don't get it. They just think that they know it all. They try to get an upper hand over someone, or they feel like they're better than someone. They feel like, I used to hear people say, don't worry about what I'm doing. Don't worry about what I got. Just catch up. Okay, let's talk about that. Verse 2 says, I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in my heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting my mind, heard with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was the good for the sons of man, which they should do under the heavens all the days of their life. So let's go a little further. Let's talk about a little further of vanity. Once they gave themselves to wine and they was doing all this other stuff and things under heaven. So the 4th verse says, I made me great works. I built me house. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruit. I made me pools of water to water there with the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens and had possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. You could say in Chicago or in the country or in my hometown, however you want to put it. I gathered me also silver and gold and a perpetual treasure of kings of the province. I got me men singers and women singers and the delight of the sons of man of musical instruments and that of all sorts, drums, organs, pianos, guitars, horns, violins, flutes, harps, whatever. Okay? Then you go on to say, so I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remaineth with me. Talking about their wisdom remaining with them. And whatsoever my eyes seeth, desireth, I kept. Mm-hmm. They kept. Hold on, I've turned too many pages. I kept. not for them. I withheld not my heart from in joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and that was in portions of all my labor. So they got everything they wanted, everything they worked for. You know how I said, other people said it, I know. We're going to be honest. I work too hard to not be able to buy what I want, not be able to get what I want. That's why I work, so I can pay my bills, do what I want to do, and buy what I want. They say, then I looked on all the works that make hands have, that my hands have wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. So I'm going to stop right there for 1 second. After you buy all that you want, all that you can, and all that you need, then once you stop and think about it, you look back and say, when I leave this world, what do you take with you? My mom used to say, what profits a man to gain the whole world and loses his soul in the end? When I was reading this, I was trying not to get excited like I did a little earlier. So I was like stumbling, but I was trying not to get excited because I don't want to move too fast. Because the 10th verse of the 2nd chapter says, and whatsoever my eyes desire, I kept. Not from them. Not somebody else. From my eyes. Whatever I looked at, and I said, oh, I'm going to get that. I want that. I didn't think about over here or over there or the next day. You know how you say a rainy day? I got it. I want it, but with that wisdom, with, I could have waited. I hear my sister say all the time, I put that to the side to listen, look, and wait to see when it's going to go on sale. So if I pay for it now, this is me talking. So I had to get to the understanding, if I pay for it now, like what they asked for it, and not wait for it to go on sale, when I could buy two of them, or I could buy that and two other things. For example, we don't celebrate Christmas anymore. We celebrate what's called Resurrection Sunday or Resurrection Day. We celebrate that in the for the birth of Christ that we were taught growing up. You know, say, well, he wasn't born. Okay, I'm not going to get into that debate with it, but we celebrate it. And then you know how you have some that say, well, I don't celebrate this, and I don't celebrate that. Okay, you want to leave that right there too. But when we would celebrate Christ, the birth of Christ, I started looking at it at one point and saying, you know what? I started noticing people wouldn't say Christmas. I noticed this many, many, many years ago, over 30 years ago, 30 years ago. People wouldn't say Christmas anymore. They were saying Xmas. So they started deciding to take Christ out of it, and they started putting more of commercialism into it, sales and sending of the money. So I decided that I wasn't going to buy anything for my children or for my family till after Christmas, because I saw that what they were selling it for the holiday season, once the day was over, before that next morning, it had already been marked down some 20, some 30, some 40, some 80, some 90%. And I was like, okay, no way on this side of earth will I be celebrating it like that anymore. Nope, not again. So when my son was little, he was upset one time because I wouldn't take him shopping. And I said, babe, you're going to be all right. You're going to be all right. So he was mad. But my friends don't have his friends. I said, don't worry about it. So the next day, I told him, come on, let's go. He said, we're to the store. He said, So I showed him what he was asking for, and I knew he remembered the price. I said, but look at what it costs today. We're just going to use $400. They wanted $395 for this game he wanted at that time. So just say over $400. But the next day after the holiday, they barely wanted $100 for it, $99.99. And he looked. I said, not only can you get the game, but you can get some, what you call it, the little games that go with it, the console, the cartridge. Okay, you can get the cartridge that go with the console. You can get an extra joystick or controller, whatever they want to call it. Then guess what? We're going to get some more stuff. You're going to get some more stuff. And then after he got everything he wanted, guess what? He found out he still had some money left over. So from that day, wisdom taught him to don't worry about shopping up to Christmas. Wait till the day after. It also taught him not only do you do the day after Thanksgiving, you do the day after Christmas, because, see, every day is Thanksgiving, and every day should be Christmas, because every day we should be celebrating the birth and the life. Yeah, I said it like that. The birth, the death, and the life of Jesus Christ. Because he was born, he died, then he rose again. That's what wisdom should tell us. If you go down to, I want to make sure I follow my notes, to 2 and 13. It says, then I saw the wisdom, excellent folly, and far as the light exceeded darkness. See, at first, I was walking in what we would say darkness, because I was doing like everyone else. I wanted to make sure up under my tree was full. I wanted to make sure that everybody had a name on a piece of paper or a card under my tree. I wanted to make sure that they knew what was being given to them under the tree, and that each one had more than they wanted under the tree. But once we came out of the darkness into the light, I've started teaching my family that you get more if you wait. And I just started learning I would get more if I wait. Like I said, my sister taught me that I would put something on layaway. Like she say, she's the queen of layaway. If you look up layaway in the dictionary, you might see her picture. So I said that to say, as we use wisdom and come out of the darkness into the light. See, I want to make sure you understand what I'm saying. I'm trying to use little things to let you understand. You don't have to worry about trying to be like Susie, Sally, Keisha, Sharithra, and Ebony. Decide to be like Jesus. Use wisdom. When you're dealing with people, you have to use wisdom. Now, when you decide you want to use wisdom at home, now we're going to go a little further. We're going to talk about how we're supposed to use wisdom in our family again. See, we was talking about wisdom over there. Now we're going to go to what's this going to be? Go around the 12th verse. Let me say this before I go. The 12th verse says, for wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. But the excellency of the knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. Consider the work of God. For who can make that straight which have been made crooked? You know, we always think about, I could do this, I could do that. But have you ever decided that You really can't do nothing without God. You really can't do nothing without knowing who God is. If it wasn't for God, you wouldn't even be able to wake up in the morning, let alone go to sleep at night. When we sit back and we think about all of the things that God has done for us, God has done about us, when we think about how we grew up, some people could say, I can't believe I made it. Some people could say, I can't believe I used to live like that. Some of them say, I've never had to experience that. But whatever your situation is, you got to look at it like it just says right here, 7 and 2. I'm sorry, 7 and 12. For wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. We know that in order to have a roof over your head, in order to eat, in order to live, you need money. We know that money causes a lot of decisions to be made. Either you decide you want to do it or you're not. Either you decide you're going to go or you're going to stay. Either you decide you're going to eat that, or you may just have to wish you could eat that because the money ain't there. You need to pay your bills, or people say, I'll pay this, but I can't pay that, or I'll pay that, but I can't pay this. When you, yeah, excuse my dog for drinking water in the background. When you look at a lot of things that goes on in life, you have to sit back and say, you know what? I need to really think about how I'm going to handle this situation. We know the end of the month and the end of one month and the beginning of another month, same thing in common. I know that person said what? Some of y'all know what I'm going to say. The end of the month and the beginning of the month have the same thing in common. And it starts with the name bill. At the end of the month, the bill is still to be due. At the beginning of the month, the bill is due. So you only get 2.5 weeks out of a month to maybe enjoy not having to worry about the first of the month. Because after the first week of the month go past, you get a couple of days to say, poof, I paid that bill, or I don't know, I got to come up with some money to pay the next bill. I got an extension. But we have to come to the point of fact that we have to understand that money does cause it to be, what did it just say right here? A defect. That money will cause you to be able to say, yeah, I made that right there. I made that happen. Or, no, I ain't going to be able to go to the show. I ain't going to be able to go to the store. I ain't going to be able to go hang out with y'all. I ain't going to be able to get my hair done. I ain't going to be able to get my nails done, my pedicure, or get my lashes touched up. I ain't going to be able to go get... Yeah, see, money will make you make some foolish decisions if you're not prayed up. If you haven't been talking to God, you better make sure that you have made a wise decision when it comes to dealing with money. I'm just saying out there. I'm not trying to go too deep with you. I'm just saying, you know, sometimes we get to the point where we always figure I could ask somebody for something. Why do you always have to be trying to ask somebody for something when, don't you know, people be looking at you like, I got my own bills to pay. I got my own house to make sure food is in and this and that. And then you get mad. Like when, you know, we was growing up, I remember my parents always making sure we understood that somebody else needed something, that somebody else in need. And they taught us to not always, they taught us to not to always be selfish. It's okay to help others out. Because, see, when it says money is a defense, okay, what does it say? For wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that the wisdom giveth life to them that have it. By my mom and dad being the way they were, they always said, see, what we do causes blessings to run down on you all because the oil is running down Aaron's beard. My parents were very wise. Even if it didn't come back, because the best part is what our parents taught us, when they helped someone and they blessed someone, they had enough wisdom to say, you know, that we ain't going to get that back. They never said, you know, they owe me still. They did. My parents never said that. They, you know, they would say it to us. Like, my mom would tell me all the time, I got to put you on the books. Because if you give me 20, you come back with that 20 two, three times, I got to put you on the books to remind you. I done gave you that 20 over and over. Now, but when it came to others, my parents taught us that if you're not willing to take a loss, don't be willing to be the big shot that jumped up and said what you did. Because if that person needed it then, who's to say how long it's going to be before they could get in a position, if they get in a position to pay back? My sister Cecilia, yes, Lord, Kaiser, has taught me that. I watched her. She's my baby sister. But I watched her over the years. One time something happened, she said, Renee, I'm not worried about it. They can't pay me back. They can't. When I gave it to them, I was under the understanding that they may never get it back. She said, but the God I serve got me. Not only is he going to give me that back, he's going to give me that more and more and more and over and over and over 10 times. She said, but if he don't, I know he able. He own a cattle on 1,000 hills. And, you know, just watching her, she didn't just say it, but when that person didn't pay her back, you know what she did? She kept blessing them. She kept on blessing them. She didn't stop blessing them. She never threw it in their face. I never heard her do it. They never said they never said she did it. She just kept on blessing them. See, because she knew that what she did it wholeheartedly because she used the wisdom of God. She allowed God to lead and guide her. She allowed God to bless her. That's why she's blessed the way she is right now, because she trusted God. Now, 7 and 19 says of Ecclesiastes, wisdom strengthens the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. See, I don't believe that we understand the strength of wisdom, the power of wisdom. It says wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 men which are in the city. You know how, you know the strength of 10 men? And you using wisdom, that's how much strength you have in your spirit realm or in your conversation. When you realize that God is God, when you realize that God has done everything, when you realize that God is so awesome, you really have to step back and say, God, if I stand here and I do it, I say this, Is that going to give you glory? Not only that, Lord, is that going to give you honor? If I stand here and my actions is the way I think, the way I see things, that powerful one, the way I feel, God, how does that bless you? Lord, help me, Lord. Show me how does that bless you, because I'm operating off Renee, Sylvia, Ren, Sparkle, whatever name I feel like that day. Wherever I feel, God, does that give you honor? I told you all before, God has taught me and God has showed me to learn how to do that. Be quiet. And Ecclesiastes 9 and, I want to say this. When God first told me to be quiet, I mean, I had such a problem with it that literally every time I went to open my mouth and say something, I bit my tongue. I bit the inside of my mouth. Well, it was so painful, I couldn't say nothing. God was like, I'm going to teach you to learn. You asking me to deliver you. You asking me to show you. You asking me to teach you. I'm here to show you how to not always have the last word, because sometimes we do more harm than we think we're doing good, but we feel so much better afterwards because now they know how we feel. You know, now you know how I feel. But I had to learn how to say, God, help me. Help me not to be that way. I don't need to debate. I don't need to defend. I don't need to stand up for you, because you are a rewarder. You said vengeance is mine. I don't need to have to fight for everything, because, see, I know you will show up and show out. Ninth chapter of Ecclesiastes, the 18th verse. Well, I'm going to read the 17th, and then I'll read the 18th. The word of wise men are hard and quiet more than the cry of him that rule among fools. 18 says, wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. So, in other words, wisdom is better than the weapons of war that comes from a hot-headed person. See, I would say, if I was to be honest, one time I was hot-headed, because if you tease me off, oh, I got to show you. I got to tell you. I got to help you understand who, what, and you did and what you have said. Excuse the noise in the background. It says, one hard-headed person could ruin a whole situation. One hard-headed person can cause some stuff to jump off that didn't have to. One hard-headed person may have heard something like what you said, kind of like what you said, or may have heard none of what you said, but they just want to jump in because they try to put their 45 cents in, instead of 2 cents or a dollar. They want to put their 45 cents in because now they feel like, I need to tell you something, because, see, you're not listening to me. You're not trying to hear what I got to say, because I'm trying to tell you how I feel. You got to remember that it's best to just be quiet. Even if I don't agree, I remember working with a friend, a dear friend, and I was helping her out with something, a business, and she was helping me out because I had told her I wanted to make some extra money, something I wanted to do. So she gave me a chance. But she had gave a couple other people chances, but that this person, she was moving so fast, she forgot to say who all she wanted to come to work that day and who all she didn't. So what happened was she got a little overwhelmed because it was too many people there to work that day. So what she did was say, she said, I need to send somebody home, two people home, if they wanted to. And the way she was saying what she needed to do, and I was watching all of us that was there, and everybody was like, she ain't sending me home, she ain't sending me home. So I stepped up because, see, one person just could be the humble one, calm himself and say, you know what, I told God what I needed, and if God made this happen, God will make another way for me to get what I need. I said, you know what, I'll leave. No, I don't want you to leave. Mm-mm. But you're not telling the one you want to leave to leave. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to leave, and I'm going to go take care of some business that I need to take care of, and you can handle this. So I said, God, it's in your hands. Cover her. Cover the situation. I said, God, and cover me that I go do what I need to do and want to do. I said, I'd like to say this. When you give it to God, and you allow God to let you walk in wisdom and says, there's no need to argue, have people upset with one another. You picked this one over that one, or I thought I was your friend. See, people don't know how to separate business from friendship. People don't know how to separate family from business. People don't know how to separate that you are my boss between this kind of, how Red said in the five heartbeats, between 9 and 5. At 8:59 a.m. and 5:01 p.m., that's when our friendship. But between 9 and 5, I work for you, or you work for me. There's no time for friendship because this is how I make my living. This is how I get my money. This is how I support myself and my family. And this is how I pay you. So if you're not going to use wisdom because you're trying to use a friendship, then when it's time to pay your bills, you go over there and give them your friendship card and see how much they could debit off of that. Where's the wisdom? Use wisdom when you're dealing with people that you want to help. If you know this person is a hothead, person is hard to get along with, you know this person to kick something off, they don't care who it is because they're going to show, use wisdom. Don't lose what you have, or how they say, a good thing because of a bad situation that you want, refuse to, scared to, can't do, and don't know how to do, handle it. So just remember that. That's what that said. Mm-hmm. Now, in wisdom and knowledge shall be that this word is popping out of my head, shall be stable of the time and stretches of salvation, the fear of the Lord as his treasures. Let me go back to that. If we go to verse 1, it said, woe to thee that spoileth, and thou wast not spoiled, that dealeth treacherously, and they that dealt not treacherously, excuse me for the way I'm saying it, with thee. When thou shalt cease to spoil, thou shalt be spoiled. And when thou shalt make an end to deal with treacherously, they shall deal treacherously with thee. O Lord, be gracious. Oh my God. Unto us. We have waited for thee. Be thou there, arms every morning. Our salvation also in the time of trouble. at the noise of a turmoil of people, fled at the lighting up of thyself, the nations were scattered. And your spoils shall be gathered like the gathering of caterpillars. As the running to and fro of the locust shall he run upon them. The Lord is exalted, for he dwelleth on high. He hath filled Zion with judgment and righteousness, and wisdom and knowledge shall be the establishing of the times and strengthen of salvation for the fear of the Lord and his treasure. Oh, their valiant ones shall cry without, the ambassador of peace shall weep bitterly. So when you think about wisdom, what do you think? When you think about wisdom with family, friends, when you think about wisdom with business, when you think about wisdom with yourself, what do you think? When you think about going around talking to people and conducting relationships or trying to involve yourself in relationships or conversations or your input, what do you think? Do you speak just because you think you know something, or it's something you've been wanting to say anyway, or it's something you feel that you need to say, got to say, have to say? Or do you sit back and say, you know what, I'm going to think about if I say something, first would I be received? How would I say it? Because did this person rub me the wrong way recently, or did this person rub me the wrong way before, and I haven't dealt with it, or I thought I dealt with it, but I still haven't got over it? Or I just say, no, I don't want to. No, because I'm not going to get into a debate with you. Or no, I'm not going to let you set me off. Or no, because I don't want to set you off. Or do you just say, yeah, I'm going to go over here and say something because I believe I can get through to them. I believe. See, a lot of times, you know, in this day and time, people don't do a lot of talking over the phone or in person. I could literally say they sit there next to each other or across the room and literally text. They just text. You would see them like this on their phone, look up at each other, go, and they text. See, back when I was growing up, we did the, hey, I want to tell you something. I need to talk to you. Come by, could I come over there? Or we call you on the phone. So when we did that, it was no misunderstanding. Because just like tonight, I don't know if it was God just using it as an example. Certain words, I know them, they just pop out of my head, or I couldn't say them, or I stumbled when I said it. But what I'm saying is that a lot of times we have to understand that we can't have, wisdom tells us that we can't have certain conversations. The timing may not be right. Or that person is trying to set you up for a fall, or is trying to set you up caught up, or you're going to feel like that person is trying to set you up because you like what they own. We have to use wisdom because we don't want our mouth to say stuff. We don't want our actions to cause something. You know, I just spoke about a pothead. We don't want certain things will cause us to be unwise. Certain conversations, certain positions, certain places, certain things, like I said, you may not be paying whole attention to, or you got partial of it, or you may have, you may have been holding something in forever, and now this person has said one thing, and it's not what they meant, but it was a key word you heard. Now you're going to blow it up because you didn't want to tell them all the time. Look at James, the third chapter. I want to read all of it, all 17 verses. My brother, be not many masters, knowing that you shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offends not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths that made them obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, also the ship, which through thy be a great, though they be a great, and are driven a force wind, yet they turn about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, right there, even so, the tongue, I'm sorry, is a little member and boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindles. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, so that the tongue among other members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it set on fire of hell. Keep going. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed and have made tame of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we man, which are made after the solitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought to not be. Bless me and curse me in the same conversation, with the same mouth. You bless me and curse me. Doeth a fountain send it forth fruit at the same time. I'm sorry, I read that wrong. Doeth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet and water and bitter? You want me to read that again? Okay. Doeth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brother, bear olive berries, either a vine, fig? So can no fountain both that yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endureth with knowledge among you? Let him show out of good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion, evil work. It says, for where envy and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. But wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceful, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruit, without partially and without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is shown, and the peace of them that make peace. So when you talk about using wisdom, you talk about saying prayerful, being prayerful, because you want to make sure you don't let this little thing right here get you in trouble. It's a lot. It's a lot to think about when you want to operate by your wisdom. But when you want to operate by God's wisdom, it's not. It's more to your reasonable servant to say, God, I just want to please you. I want to do your will, God. I just, Lord, please don't let me get out of your will. Don't let me get out of your way, God. Keep me that I may all the days of my life. I thank you all for joining me tonight to talk about wisdom and to go through, sorry for the stumbling. I don't know what the words are, just getting tangled up tonight. But I thank God for us being able to communicate. So if anyone's on Blog Talk and they have anything they would like to share with us for tonight, please share this at this time. Talk and Facebook Live at the same time. Thank God for our foundation of scripture, which is Matthew 6 and 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We are so happy to be a part of your listening audience. We're so happy to be a part of this ministry. And it is just a gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous night set in agreement with us. We're going to use wisdom again. We're going to let you know we're continually praying for Minister Margot so that she can come back and do our third Mondays that God had anointed her to do, God had appointed her to do. I just thank God for keeping her on our hearts and minds. Please keep her in your prayers. Please pray for my family. Please pray for my ministry that God has given me. Please pray for Smile 3E, Iron Sharpening Iron. Please pray that God open the door for Smile 3E, Iron Sharpening Iron. We are so blessed to be a part of this day, this time of day for what God is doing.
Minister Sylvia, can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Yes, go ahead.
I think it's interesting that you were speaking on what you were speaking on, and then God wanted me to encourage you, but then Blog Talk wouldn't let me open up the line. But I just wanted to say to you that whether you remember Moses when God, you know, gave him Aaron to speak for him. And a lot of times, although people don't have stuttering and different things as an ailment, sometimes variances and things that they've recovered from is evident of that. So we all know that you had some health issues and that God is giving you recovery in that. And we know as people of God that that could have been us and that we're blessed that you're still here with us. So thank you for the teaching and the word that you were sharing with us on tonight. And also remember that you talked about wisdom. Wisdom and love are a great cure for envy. So I just wanted to share that with you and tell you once again, woman of God, thank you for sharing and to let you know that the enemy of our soul did not want you to be encouraged on tonight. But God, but God, but God, he got me in there even at the last minute.
Praise God for that. I thank God for that. So thank you, woman of God, for the encouragement. It's truly needed. I thank God for this ministry. Like I say, Smile3E. Keep us in prayer. I pray that you all get sweet rest on tonight for tomorrow's activities of your work day. I ask God to cover you going in, cover you going out, cover your family, cover your traveling mercies. I ask God to just keep you all safe and have a blessed foundation. Scripture is Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I love saying that over and over and over. And I just want you all to come back and join us this Friday. This Friday, I think it's going to be a change in the program. Instead of going on at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, it's going to be it's going to be on Facebook at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. And we're going to keep you all posted what's going on with Friday night service. We want to just say, God, we thank you for the opportunity. So I just want you all to know we love you with the love of the Lord. There's nothing you can do about it. Amen, everyone. Good night.